Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. Today we're talking about how to deal with intense emotions as a result of maternal narcissism. This is a big topic and one on which I get loads of questions. Today I'm answering a request I've received a while ago. A listener reached out feeling crushed by waves of emotions such as anger, jealousy, anxiety, and depression. And in her email, she mentioned how even with all the support in the world, life still feels hard and scary. Anyone resonating with this? I certainly did for a very long time. I know I've spent most of my life swept by intense emotions and not able to deal with any of them, feeling like there was no way out. As the support I had at the time didn't feel like it was making a long-lasting difference. It just made a difference in the moment, maybe when I was within whatever container, but it just didn't really support in my everyday life to feel a lot better. So I really get how, despite the support, life can still feel very hard and scary. So she was asking any advice in dealing with such intense emotions, and she was also wondering about the difficulties to open up to others about these intense emotions, how to say what she really thinks, and the feeling that she can't trust anyone. So the fear of saying what she really thinks. As I said at the start, this is a big topic, and not one that can be dealt with in one episode. Working with the emotions that emerge and that are triggered and learning to ride the waves and regulate the nervous system is what the work is all about. And I would be lying to you if I tried to sell you a shortcut, if I told you that this can be just sorted really, really easily and quickly. It does require time and practice and willingness to go deep into your inner world, even when it feels hard and scary to go in. And I know you do have all of that. You are willing to put in time, you are willing to practice, and you are willing to go deep. So I know I'm talking to the right audience here. So with that said, I'm going to do my best to give you as complete an overview as I can. Once you've listened to this episode, you can also listen to episode 32. Unpacking the challenge of intense emotions when healing from maternal narcissism. So that kind of, it's an episode I did a while ago that is on the same topic. So the two episodes in together might offer you even more insights and clarity. So the first thing I want to address is the very common question that rises for any of us feeling everything with such intensity. And the question is, what is wrong with me? Okay, we're looking at others. Others don't seem to be feeling things as intensely as we are. So clearly the next assumption is that there's something wrong with us. Okay, so the question is, what is wrong with me? And this question is usually followed by a couple of others. Am I broken? Am I abnormal? Or am I so hopelessly messed up? There is nothing to be done? Or another question that can come up is the world so totally messed up a place that I'm never going to fit into it? Have you ever asked yourself any of that? Or have you ever had such thought? Again, I definitely had. Many times in my life, I felt broken. I felt completely abnormal, out of place, hopeless in the way I was perceiving myself as messed up. And I also felt many times that the world was completely messed up as well. So if your answer is yes to any of those questions, if you have actually asked yourself any of that, I really get you. What I want you to hear is that what took me years to truly realize about myself is there's nothing wrong with you at all. There's nothing wrong with you. Absolutely nothing wrong with you. You're definitely not broken. You're a beautiful and amazing woman with a sweet and sensitive heart who has been through a lot and has not been modeled how to deal with all that. That's all it is. And is the world a messed up place? Well, we could debate on this point forever, and I'm sure you all have your personal opinion on this, which I totally honor and respect. So I'm not going to go into that now. What I will say, though, is that society, as it is right now in many parts of the world, does not support humans in feeling safe, supported, and truly fulfilled. So if you are feeling that makes sense. Is that a hopeless situation? Nothing is hopeless, ever, as you have the power to create your own life on your terms every step of the way when you start from inside of yourself. And this is valid even in a messed up world, even in a sick society. You can still do that. And I'm not the one who's, and I'm not, this doesn't come from me, I'm not the one that has said this before. There are so many amazing humans in this world who have said versions of this and lived by it and lived incredibly inspiring lives and incredibly fulfilling lives, even in very difficult circumstances. So that's why for me at this point, I can't ever say that a situation is hopeless, because there's always something. When we're working from the inside out, there's always something that you can do. That inside part is what you can always do something about. You can always be in control of, that no one can ever take away from you. Where the outside, if you're trying to manage, change, and control that is completely out of your control, really. So there's very little that you can do from that perspective. But from the inside out, oh, tons, you can always do tons. And we can all feel victims of the outside pushing in, attacking, not understanding us, making us feel bad, whether it is our mothers, our families and friends, our colleagues at work, the entire world. I get that. I have spent most of my life feeling like that, and for sure that feeling gets triggered at times still. So it's not like I'm immune to feeling that the outside sometimes is pushing in. But the true shift comes when you become aware of the power you have inside, and that you can be an unstoppable force in your own life once you embrace a path of healing, not because you're broken, but because you deserve to feel the fullness of your life and to explore your potential all the way. So that's the wine behind that I'm inviting you to feel into and to work with. Why are you here? Why you're doing this work? If you're here because you feel broken, it's not that that's wrong. There's no judgment. It's just that that's not very empowering or helpful. And I do get, we all come to this work because we do feel broken at some point on some level, and then we learn that we're not. So that's why I'm bringing this in. When we start doing this work because we're coming from a place of deserving to be happy, deserving to feel seen, loved, safe, joyful, and all of that becomes a way more powerful why behind it. So how do we do that? How do we make the shift between being swallowed up by intense emotions to being happy and alive and feeling alive? The first thing that is important to understand is that intensity of emotions is not a bad thing in itself. Okay, that's important. We're not trying not to feel intense emotions, because when we try not to feel intense emotions, we're going into trying to suppress, distract, or soothe with coping strategies. And again, there's no judgment. We've all done that, and we're all, I don't know, I'm still doing that at times, so it's not that. I can preach from a high pedestal, absolutely never. But so that's not what we're trying to do here. We're not trying to avoid intense emotions, because intensity of emotions is not a bad thing in itself, and is not a sign that you're broken or malfunctioning. And if you felt the need to distract, suppress, and take the edge off with coping strategies, that is only human. And again, as I said, there's no judgment and there's no shame in that. Be very, very kind with yourself, because that inner critic voice, the inner shame, can just go down really hard on us at times. But there's no shame. That's just very human. The only reason why intense emotions feel so horrible is because we have not been shown how to create the proper space for them inside ourselves. When we feel intense anger or anxiety or jealousy, we can feel like the emotion is swallowing us whole. That's the sensation. The emotions we're experiencing become the only thing that feels true in the moment, overriding everything else. As if, like, imagine that the emotion was maybe like water, and we're trying to put too much water and the cup feels too small for all that water that is coming in. It's like trying to catch an entire waterfall with a tiny little cup. Okay, so what we're needing to work with is to make that cup a very, very big container that can contain the intensity of that emotion. Okay, so the emotions we're experiencing become the only thing that, as I said, that feel true. They override everything else. It may feel in these moments like there's no way out, and there never will be. Usually, at these times, there's also a story. When we pay attention, when we actually slow down, there is a story that is spinning in the head that is there to validate the emotion, such as blame towards others. That can be one. Or self-shaming. And whatever version, we all have our personal version of how this plays out in our own heads. And these stories feel extremely true too. Again, feeding the bigger story of hopelessness. But there is a different way. And again, if you're recognizing yourself in what I'm just describing, again, you're not alone in this. You're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you or with the fact that you have been feeling this way. It's just what happens when no one ever shows you how to do it differently. But there is a different way. One that you can practice and train your system in order to ride these waves we spoke about in a way that feels empowering and not destructive. So what can you do? First of all, when feeling intense emotions, become aware of the story that is playing in your head. Okay, that's very important. You may need to stop telling yourself that the story is true, because very often we're very caught up in the story that we tell, and we're so strongly advocating for that story. Whatever is that story, and you know what that is for you. You will know that. And sometimes it's very hard to admit. Okay, so again, if you're finding that challenging, I get that. I've been there, and oh my, I have found it very challenging, and sometimes I got very upset with others that gently pointed out what was the story that was playing in my head, with permission, as in others. I'm talking about maybe mentors or guides that I was working with. So I totally understand. But when we advocate so strongly for that story, and we feel so strongly that that's true, is this really helpful? That's the question, okay? So instead of advocating and completely telling yourself that that story is true, practice asking yourself, is this story helpful for me right now? What is this doing for me? How is this working out for me? You know, following this story, has that been helpful in my life so far? And see what the answer is to that. Point number two, use tools to support you creating the right space between the bigger you and the part of you that feels emotions in the moment. That's what I was talking about earlier, that container. So within you at the same time, there is that waterfall of emotions, but there's also a part of you that is the container for all of that. And again, that may feel very small at the beginning because we haven't been shown this, we've never been told this, and we've never practiced. But with training and practice, you can actually make that container feel much, much, much bigger, to the point that that container can hold an ocean of emotion and be absolutely fine with it. And there are tools to do this. And we use them constantly in the women's circles and in the one-on-one We practice this all the time so that it becomes like second nature. Breath is one of these tools, and it's with you all the time. So this is a really amazing one. Like, you always have breath with you. You don't need fancy equipment or fancy books or fancy anything to practice this. You can do it all the time. Even if you know nothing about breathing techniques, you can achieve so much. One amazing practice that has literally saved me at times in the past is breathing into the, like, breathing into the count of five and breathing out to the count of five. And just keep repeating this for about 10 minutes. And do that every day. 10 minutes every day of breathing in as in your mind you're counting to five, and breathing out as in your mind you're counting to five. And then you can, when you do that every day and you practice it every day, you can use it in the emergency situation. So when you feel swallowed, an emotion rises that feels really strong and intense, instead of start going down the spiraling hole of following the story, just forget about whatever the reason, forget about the story for a moment. That's not important ultimately. And stay with your breath, breathe in to five, breathe out to five, and you will feel things settling back down. Okay, and you can try it. We can try it now. Like, literally, this is what you do. You see it, or you can do it walking, you can stand, you can lie down, whatever your body feels, and just start breathing in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Out. 2, 3, 4, 5. In. 2, 3, 4, 5. Out. 2, 3, 4, 5. In. 2, 3, 4, 5. Out. 2, 3, 4, 5. And so on. We've only done it for 3 breaths now. If you've tried it with me, you might already feel some difference in your system. And again, the more you practice that when you're feeling fine, like an everyday routine, the more it's going to be effective when you need it. Nature is another amazing support. Go into nature whenever it's possible. Take your shoes off. Feel the earth underneath your feet. The earth is always there. It's holding you. She's always there holding you. She's the biggest container. So nature, nature, nature. I can't say that enough. Touch is an important tool and truly works for many of us. So there's different ways. You can hug yourself, like literally place your arms around you and hold yourself tight. This really works. Like, I've had moments where when the freeze response was such and so strongly triggered that my entire body started shaking uncontrollably, and I actually couldn't do anything about it. And I remember being told so many times, oh, if you breathe, if you relax through that, and I'm not negating the breathing actually works, but in those moments when my body was shaking, like my teeth literally starts chattering, like it gets very intense. I couldn't really stop that. I didn't know how to stop that. And that was very annoying, because that could happen in the middle of a conversation with people or with my partner or even during work. So I found that if I actually really tensed all the muscles and really hugged myself really, really tight and felt that strong touch, that actually stopped the shaking and brought the system back to normal. It's like getting this incredibly strong, tight hug from your mother. I know you probably haven't experienced that. I haven't. My mother didn't hug me ever, unless it suited her, which was very rare. So that big, strong hug actually stopped the shaking. So again, touch can be a thing, and you may figure out how that works for you. You can place both hands on your heart. One hand on your heart, one hand on your tummy, both hands on your tummy, sometimes placing your hands on your shoulders, like a comforting touch. You can place them on your eyes sometimes, if what you're taking in from the outside seems a bit too much. Like, just literally warm up your palms and place your hands on your eyes softly without pressing. So there's different things that you can do with touch that can help bringing things back to a more to a place where you can manage it a little bit better, and then from there. And you can combine, like you can do the touch, like place your hands on your belly while you're breathing to the count of five, for example, or things like that. You can play together. Movement is another tool. Very often we feel stuck into an emotion and the stories play in circle in our mind, like going wild. You keep telling that story again and again and again and again, whatever that story is, and you feel very stuck. So if that's the situation, moving the body can really be helpful. And like, this can be a very strong exercise session if that's what you're into. I have done that at times, and sometimes I find that extremely helpful. Not always. And sometimes it can just be move. Like, you know, if you are in your room, for example, and you're feeling quite depressed and you're feeling down and the story's playing in your head, getting yourself to get out and go for a walk, even if it feels like the hardest thing to do. Usually it's because that's what we need. And the system is like, no. I just want to stay in this hole that I'm in, and I don't want to go out. And it's a subconscious thing. It's not that. It's not anything to judge yourself about. That just happens. So just move, change environment, move, put on some music, and like literally shake or dance. That can be helpful at times. Again, this is very generic. If we were working together, you would get what works for you and what doesn't. We could go deep into all the different things because it's different for every one of us. Like, I've had clients that find movement incredible, clients that absolutely hated touch, and this was like a journey to get to the point of why they hated touch, and then understanding that actually they really loved it in the end. So there's like, it's a journey. And to go in more specifics, I need to work with you, as in I would need to know you better and know exactly your specific situation. So, but you can play with these things. Then point number three is that feeling intense emotions, it's actually not a curse. It's a blessing. And I know that it can feel like a curse very, very often, but it's not. And how is that so? The only way to feel intense joy, happiness, bliss is to feel all the rest of it too. Okay? When you try to numb one side of the spectrum, you're also numbing the other too. So if you're trying not to feel very intensely, like anger or sadness or jealousy or whatever, you're also going to numb the other side of the spectrum too. So at this point, you could ask, like, a question I get at this point very often is like, so how come I only ever seem to feel the so-called negative emotions? And I put those in inverted brackets because there's no such thing as negative or positive emotions, there's only emotions. But I do get the question comes to me this way. So how come I only ever feel the so-called negative emotions and I never feel joy or peace? And that is because with the trauma you've experienced in your childhood, some pathways are not open yet. It may not feel safe for you to for you subconsciously to open up to feel joy, for example, or anything along those lines. Your nervous system might be in constant fight or flight or freeze mode and hasn't had the chance to learn how to open to a relaxed state yet. It is not that you are inherently incapable to feel good, but your system doesn't feel safe or allowed to go there. So it is very important to learn tools to self-regulate and support your nervous system, and then gently working. Actually, it's not even working. Gently opening up the pathways to feel those emotions like joy and peace and calm. It does come in. I promise you it does. And the same tools I mentioned earlier, can apply to these too. Point number four, learn to mother yourself. when you get swallowed up by the so-called negative emotions, again, in inverted brackets, and the story in your head feels true and too much to deal with, that is actually your inner child in the driving seat, okay? That's what your inner child feels. That voice that is telling that story that is not helpful and the emotions that seem too much, that is your inner child. There is a bigger part of you that is also there. And that's, if you want to call it, the mother energy in you, that's there. So it is important to train yourself to access that part. Again, that's a training that doesn't just happen. I can't sell you a quick fix on that, especially when we're coming from a family where our mothers did not model that healthy mother energy at all. So we don't know how to access that. It's not that it's not there. You do have it inside you. We all do. It just needs to be retrained a little bit. Okay, so you can start by changing the way you speak with others or in the privacy of your mind about yourself. For example, instead of saying, I'm anxious, I am anxious. That's a big, big and powerful statement, okay? Every time we put an I am in front of anything, we're making a big, big statement, okay? Or another way of saying it would be, oh, I feel a lot of anxiety. Again, I feel it's the totality of you. So instead of using those when you're describing yourself or when you're saying that in your mind, you could say, a part of me feels anxious right now. And you can start seeing the difference. Like when you start describing, and this is a point, I just want to say this to you to make you maybe smile or laugh. But when I was introduced to this concept first, this was years ago, I resisted it so much. You have no idea. This was actually even a cause of multiple fights and discussions with my partner. I really resisted it because I was like, that just doesn't feel true. So I'm just gonna say that I feel anxious and that's it. This is just bullshit, effectively. This is really how I reacted to it, and I resisted it so much. And that's okay. I'm not shaming myself for this, not anymore. But I find it very funny that now I am actually telling others to do that because since I have embraced it, it does make a difference. Okay, so if you find yourself resisting it and thinking, what the hell, these are just words, they're not just words. The way we speak about ourselves is really, it's two things. So the way you speak about yourself unedited, when you observe it and become conscious about it, it gives you a very good indication and information as to where you're at, how you're feeling about yourself. So if you are making big I am statements about yourself, like I'm just like this, or I'm anxious, or I get overwhelmed by emotion all the time, or stuff like that, that's okay. There's nothing wrong in you saying that. And that is the point. I was resisting so much, like people telling me I was wrong if I used whatever statements. There's nothing wrong with that. It is a great indication that tells you where you are within your system. If that is truly what you're feeling, that anxiety is the totality of you, that means that container is very, very small. Like you're using like a little teeny tiny coffee cup to try and, like an Italian espresso coffee cup, to try and contain an entire waterfall. And you're trying to force it into that cup. And that's why you're feeling that you are the entirety of that emotion. So that's okay. That's powerful information. When you start bringing conscious language in, is not to force it. It's not, oh, I'm speaking like this, so I'm actually forcing something to shift in my system. It's not like that. It's more to soften it. It's to soften it, okay? It's a softer way of speaking about yourself. It's only a part. So yes, it does feel like a massive waterfall, but actually the space inside of you is the entire earth. So when you're in under a waterfall, like really, really close to it, it feels huge and it makes a lot of noise and there's water spraying everywhere and it's kind of messy. But if you take steps back from it, because the space that you have is actually the entire planet, that little tiny waterfall, it's only but a small part of it. So you are the earth. You are the entire earth. It's all in you. And that intense emotion that you're feeling is only one waterfall. It's one small part of you. So this gives you, allows you to practice building that container for that emotion, make it bigger and bigger and bigger so that you can feel, you can still feel that emotion as part of life experience. I mean, it's never going to go away, but you can feel it alongside a lot of other things that are going on at the same time within you, and some are really beautiful and some are more uncomfortable, but some feel really blissful, and all of it happens at the same time within this big container that it's you that is able to hold all of that, totally able. So that's the context in which I'm saying, rather than using big I am statements, a part of me feels anxious right now, part of me feels such and such right now. It's a suffer way of saying it. Another thing that you can say, so instead of saying, it's so true that no one likes me, for example, it's so true that no one appreciates me, or whatever, whatever the truth, whatever that story that you feel in your head that seems so true, find something else that is true at the same time that feels softer, that feels nicer on your system. So you're not negating that story. So you can say, it may feel true at this moment that no one likes me. So again, it's right now in this moment. I can accept that it may feel true for me, for a part of me, that no one actually likes me or appreciates me. And it's also true that, for example, my children love me. Okay, so there is someone that really appreciates you, or like whatever, you know, like I'm giving an example. You might not even have children. That's might not apply to you, but find the version of that that applies to you. So the story that feels so incredibly true in your head, you don't need to negate that, because that can cause an inner contrast and there can be resistance that comes up, because your mother used to negate what you said, possibly. And so now you're like, F you to anyone, even internally to yourself, to anyone that tries to negate how you're feeling and the story that you're feeling. I get that. So you don't need to negate that. You can validate that. Oh, it may feel very true at this moment that such and such, but it's also true and a statement that feels softer in some way, that feels nicer to your system, that can soften the entire experience. Now, for the question about sharing with others and the difficulty in trusting others, this is a delicate matter. As the message, you should be able to just be yourself, or be yourself and everything will be fine. It's plastered everywhere and it's not always helpful. And this can be a full episode on its own, really. So I'll do my best to give you the condensed version just to answer fully to all the questions that were asked in the request. There is a difference between being yourself without discernment and getting to know yourself deeply. One is not very helpful and the other is extremely healing. So when you get to know yourself, you get to know who you are beyond all the stories in your mind, beyond all beliefs you've picked up on, beyond conditioning you've received, beyond the trauma you've experienced, and the coping strategies you've used to survive till now. Knowing yourself gives you clarity on the patterns active within you and on your own triggers. So, with that, when we say, oh, I get a lot of support, but the world seems still to be very hard, and I get a lot of support, but I still feel incredibly negative, and I still not able to cope with emotions, and if you properly see no improvement, okay, no shift, because always remember that this is a process that takes time. So yes, support is there, but it's not gonna be magic. Like, it's gonna take time, and it's a step-by-step process. Getting through all those layers of knowing yourself takes time, and each wave of emotions you're feeling gets you a layer deeper. So it does take that. But with that said, the only form of support that truly works is the one that helps you through this process. Okay? It's the one that actually really helps you through the step-by-step process of getting to know yourself, moving through all these layers that we just mentioned. Everything else is going to be just a temporary patch. So any other form of support, it's not going to be long lasting. And that very much depends on the person or group of people that is supporting you. If they are knowledgeable and prepared on this type of process or not. I have a full episode on this. You can listen to episode 3. The title was "This Healing Doesn't Work, Am I Broken?" So yeah, there I go a little bit deeper on this specific topic. So with that said, from this vulnerable place, with a nervous system that has never truly felt safe, that holds a lot of triggerability and stories within, it's not advisable to openly share your thoughts and feelings with just everyone. And not because your thoughts and feelings are wrong. Don't get me wrong here. Like, there's nothing wrong with, as we said, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with your thoughts and feelings. And it they ideally, okay, ideally, you would be able to share that openly. But not everyone is able to take that. Because we, like, everyone has their own stories and their own traumas and their own projections and their own things. So it's really important that this step-by-step process is done in a very safe environment first, so that you don't just go about sharing whatever you're feeling or thinking to anyone. That's the whole, oh, just be yourself and it'll be fine, gonna be fine. But that doesn't work. Like, you're gonna hurt yourself in the process, and you're gonna hurt others too, without meaning to, of course. So it's not a very helpful way to go about things. So if you do it in a container instead that is dedicated to this work, where you get to gently open up while at the same time you get to know yourself and your patterns. This will support the system, your system, in the delicate process of not only learning to trust others and yourself, but also learning who and when it's safe to trust others. Okay, who is it safe to trust and when it's safe to do so? And also when perhaps it's best not to. Okay, there are times where you're like, okay, no, this person, lovely person and all, but it's not actually the right person for me to fully open up. And again, it's not because of judgment, it's not because that's a bad person, it's not because you're incapable to open up with everyone, it's just because it's not helpful to actually just open up with everyone. And as you go through this process, having a safe group around you will also support you in the in not feeling alone in this, because I know that this is a big part of it. You know, like, when you feel you can't trust anyone, when you feel you can't open up with anyone and you can never be yourself, it's a very lonely place to be, and I get that. I've been there. So step-by-step process of getting to know yourself in an environment that feels safe, that is designed for that, women's circle, a support group, a mentoring program, whatever that is, therapy, wherever that is. But it's better if the thing is, especially with others, a group will really support you with that. So do that in a safe space, and then from there, as you're getting to know yourself, you're gonna become so much more able to tell when you are in front of someone where you can fully open and when you're not. And that is going to help you trust in your own good instinct. In that is going to help you also trust others more, because when someone feels like a good resonance, that's probably a person that you can open up with. But before we've done all this process, that feeling, it's a little bit messed up, because we're not actually really feeling into the other person, but we're going with the trauma, the bonds created with trauma, and we're going with the neediness, and we're going with a lot of other stuff and projections that are really not supportive of building friendships and relationships. So that's the answer to that for now, and I just try to keep it as short as possible. Again, if you have questions on this, you can ask and you can reach out. So, I think that's it. That's all I have to say on this. Again, you can go and listen to that other episode, episode 32, that I said at the beginning. Again, I'm offering more on the same topic. Some things might actually sound like the same, but said in different words, so it might be worth to listen to it if this is something for you that feels important, as it is such a big topic. And reach out if you have questions and if you want to share your experience. The email is in the description of the episode, as well as all the links if you feel called to know more about how to work with me, so the women's circles or the one-on-one program. Whether the intake is on or not, you can always apply for the one-on-one program. If I'm in a space where I have the four people and there's no spaces, by applying, you are automatically put on the waiting list. So that means that the next intake, you're going to have priority. So you can always apply for that. So with that said, I'm going to leave you and send you lots and lots of love. Bye for now.